You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Farad. Coming up, for-profit universities have been controversial, and the Obama administration took legal action against a lot of them. But a Minnesota-based for-profit school system has reopened in Wisconsin. We'll find out more in just a bit.
First, in a televised address to the nation last night, President Trump laid out his highly anticipated strategy for American involvement in Afghanistan after 16 years of an American military presence. Here is a bit of what the president had to say.
When I became president, I was given a bad and very complex hand, but I fully knew what I was getting into. Big and intricate problems. But one way or another, these problems will be solved. I'm a problem solver. And in the end, we will win.
Included in the president's plans is an increase in the amount of troops stationed in Afghanistan, although Trump wouldn't supply a number. He also declined to put a timetable on how long American troops would remain there or set deadlines for withdrawal. He also issued a strong warning to Pakistan, a strategic ally of the U.S., who Trump accuses of, quote, housing the very terrorists we're fighting, end quote.
Nahal Tusi joins us now to break down this new approach to Afghanistan. She's a foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. Nahal, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We'll get into the details in just a moment. But first, Nahal, overall, what did you make of the president's address last night?
Well, it was really striking to see him basically change his mind from years before, where he's always said, we need to get out of Afghanistan. What are we doing in Afghanistan? And now he says, well, now that I'm president and I see things from a different perspective, I've decided that we have to continue to stay there.
And do we have a sense of where that change in opinion, that change in perspective came from?
Well, basically, his advisors, especially the generals, basically came to him and said, look, if we leave and Afghanistan falls apart, we're going to be blamed. You're going to be blamed because you are now a wartime president, whether you like it or not. And I think that really, you know, frustrated the president, because he just the idea that he could be blamed for something that might fall apart like that is just a bit too much for him.
Well, and Steve Bannon, chief strategist who left the administration late last week, was very much against further involvement or even continuing the president involvement in Afghanistan. How much weight would you put to the timing of this, where Steve Bannon is out and President Trump makes this change?
You know, I think that it was probably just more of a coincidence than anything, because from what we understand, you know, over the last several weeks, there have been efforts by other people around Trump, including the vice president, to basically get him on board with this notion of staying on in Afghanistan you know, at least committing some more troops. Now, it is possible that Mr. Bannon found that his own influence was not as strong as it used to be, and that that's why he decided to leave. So it could be a coincidence. I don't know that it was necessarily a cause and effect situation.
And let's take a listen to what President Trump had to say about that change of heart.
My original instinct was to pull out. And historically, I like following my instincts. But all my life, I've heard that decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. In other words, when you're president of the United States.
Things are different when you sit in that desk at the Oval Office. And Trump is now the third American president to command American forces in Afghanistan. Based on what you heard, Nahal, how different will Trump's approach be from his predecessors?
Sort of be very similar, actually, to his predecessors, except he might go a bit more for the sticks instead of the carrots when it comes to other countries around Afghanistan, like Pakistan in particular. I mean, we do get the sense that he wants to be a bit more blunt and get other people more involved and tell Pakistan in particular that they really need to crack down on the terrorist safe havens inside their borders that, you know, are one of the reasons that the Afghan war continues and doesn't seem to have an end in sight. Now, the thing is, though, that, you know, rhetoric is one thing, but in reality is another. Whether the president's able to actually follow through with some of his promises and whether his actions are necessarily going to make a difference, that still very much remains to be seen. But it does seem like he wants to go in with at least, you know, tougher rhetoric. But again, it's, you know, this deeds, not words, are what really matter in a place like that.
Let's take a listen to what the president had to say about Pakistan.
We have been paying Pakistan billions and billions of dollars. At the same time, they are housing the very terrorists that we are fighting. But that will have to change, and that will change immediately.
Now, Nehal, Pakistan is a pretty important U.S. ally in that area, and in part for supporting the U.S. troops that are in Afghanistan for supply lines and such. What are the dangers of perhaps coming out a little too strongly against Pakistan?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they could, you know, make moves to shut down the supply lines. They could basically unleash some of the terrorists and militant groups that are under their control in Afghanistan. We could end up seeing more violence if the Pakistanis go for this. And, you know, they could just make things a lot more difficult on a number of levels. So the U.S. has to be prepared for that. Also, you know, the whole ultimate goal is to have a peace deal, right, with the Taliban, and everybody kind of agrees that you have to have a political settlement. And frankly, like, the Taliban are not going to come to the table without Pakistan's prodding. So Pakistan might be able to play a spoiler on that level as well.
We're talking with Nehal Tusi right now. She's a foreign affairs correspondent at Politico, and she's recapping the president's address last night regarding policy moving forward with Afghanistan. And Nehal, one of the big parts of Trump's plan is to deploy more American troops to Afghanistan to continue to train Afghan forces there, but he didn't specify how many he would be sending. Are we hearing numbers coming from any other sources?
Well, we have sources telling us that, you know, the number is somewhere between 3,500 to 3,800 additional troops. They're going to be going there on, like, a training and advising type of basis, not necessarily, like, strict combat. Of course, this is separate from special forces and other units that we might have out there. And so they're going to go there, and they're going to try to help the Afghans build capacity in areas where they're not as strong as they could be. You know, for instance, probably intelligence is one, I'm guessing, and also possibly air support, that sort of thing. So, you know, the idea is to go there and to stay until there is a change in the conditions to the point where the U.S. feels like it's time to get us further out. But what also the president didn't really say is what those conditions were going to be. And that's another mystery.
Well, and President Trump was very critical in the past of President Obama giving a deadline or a date when troops were going to withdraw. And this is what he had to say on that count last night.
A core pillar of our new strategy is a shift from a time-based approach to one based on conditions. I've said it many times how counterproductive it is for the United States to announce in advance the dates we intend to begin or end military options.
Nehal, what have been the reactions that you've been hearing to that idea of we are not going to set a date, we are going to judge how things are on the ground and then proceed accordingly?
Well, frankly, that's an idea that gets a lot of support across both parties. I mean, there was a sense that that was a mistake that President Obama made, is by saying on this particular date we're going to be pulling out. But again, the question is, what sort of conditions is President Trump going to lay out there to say that, well, when these conditions are met, we're going to be leaving? And that's you know, he kind of has left it kind of open-ended. And so that's something we need to watch. And as reporters, we're certainly going to ask about it, is when will you be ready? When do you think the conditions on the ground are going to be good enough for the U.S. to leave?
Well, and I guess the other question is, what's going to be different after 16 years that hasn't happened or hasn't been able to be accomplished? What would some of those benchmarks be, possibly?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, he's sending more troops, just like President Obama did. And President Obama sent actually tens of thousands of additional troops. And yet the situation really hasn't changed. And so the question then is, how is this going to be different? I mean, personally, I think a lot of it is going to come down to whether you can get Pakistan to change its behavior. But, you know, there's no end in sight for this particular war. Although, frankly, I'm one of those people who just kind of, you know, never understood the people who thought this was going to be a cakewalk and that this was going to be a simple fight in the first place.
Well, and the president did address the frustration of many Americans over how long this conflict has dragged on.
nearly 16 years after September 11th attacks, after the extraordinary sacrifice of blood and treasure, the American people are weary of war without victory.
Weary with war without victory. Nahal, what are you going to be watching for as we move forward and see this policy put into place about what victory or at least peace might look like?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really thinking about this recently, and it struck me that in a few years, we're going to have people signing up for the military who were not even born when September 11th happened. And so that's how long this war has stretched. But at the same time, you know, this is the type of struggle that in many ways, you know, lends itself to be generational, to be decades long. I mean, the U.S. still has troops in South Korea. We still have troops in Japan. So it's really important for us to have that kind of historical perspective on these sorts of things as well. And I guess I'm just going to be watching to see what sort of actions Mr. Trump is going to be putting behind his words. And that to me is really, really key. And we're just going to have to keep watching it. I have a feeling that, you know, years and years from now, I'm still going to be talking about this war.
Nahal, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. She joined us to talk about the president's strategy for American involvement in Afghanistan.
Coming up, we'll learn about a for-profit university system with Minnesota roots that's gained traction in Wisconsin under the Trump administration. Stay with us here on Central Time.